happy.
Welcome to Ever Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Good afternoon. This is September the 1st, 2013. Wow, September the 1st. Now, you may hear some odd background noises while I'm here today. I've got the stove in this. We've got a 30-mile-an-hour wind. It's been blowing for about 2 days. It's exactly in the wrong direction. And the stove that I normally heat my wood in and burn my wood in is... basically, when the wind is blowing in this particular direction, it blows right down, right through the chimney and back down the stove. So it just basically fills the whole room with smoke. It's already done that about three times, and I don't fancy doing it tonight. So I've got this little stove running, which makes this kind of really kind of stormy night silent sort of sound. So that's what you might hear in the background. It is actually sort of mirroring the howling wind outside, so it's a kind of micro version of that. So tonight, my guest was due to be Karen MacDonald, and Karen Ann MacDonald, and she spoke to me earlier on today, but she hasn't arrived back home yet. So it's probably the old PST, MST. Difficulties that we have, which is being an hour out, thinking that they've got enough time. So I've often had the issue with people on MST. I say it's PST. Anyway, long story. Time zone issues have probably meant that my guest is going to be on in an hour's time, as is the way of these things. So, if anybody would like to join me for the next hour, do feel free to contact me over Skype. You've probably all got my number. If you haven't, you can call in on the Wolf Spirit radio number, which is 775-657-5973. Until that time, let's have a quick look. Oh, wow. All right. So there's Frank is talking about stuff as well. So do hang out for Frank's show tonight after Ever Beyond, that which is at what was it, 5 PST, which will be 8 EST, and it's 1 o'clock UK time. And what we'll be doing is a large. It's the big shift that is happening, and we need to kind of push it one way or another. And Frank's meditations will be focused towards that. It really feels like an important moment right now. I've had for the last few days. And it's almost been like a childlike sense of anticipation. It's a bit like the feeling as Christmas approaches, or something like that. But, you know, I'm 52, I'm old and cynical, and that stuff doesn't affect me anymore. But I've had this sense, this almost tingling excitement. It may be that there's a huge electrical build-up. It may indeed be simply an electric situation. Possibly from the build-up of plasma from the sun, or some other things. But anyway, let's until my guest is arriving. I'd like to bring in my dear friend Tracy. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing, love?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. And you're coming through nice and clear. Perfect.
Wonderful.
Yes. So I've just been talking about this sense of excitement that I've been having. It's like almost like the excitement of like Christmas is coming kind of thing, but not. Although it doesn't feel like a terrible sense of anticipation, it feels like something really good is going to happen. But at the same time, there's an edginess to it. And if you then look out on the world and apply that, you know, there's a lot of scenarios that are potentially, and I say potentially, threatening to spill out. Opinions?
Yeah, there's so much, Jay, you know, and we've talked about it, and I got so upset on it last week that I did Tuesday's show and then didn't do any more till Friday. You know, I usually have that daily news show, but I'm just sick of so much bloodshed and terror. But I was really cheered up today when you sent me that image of Ison. It looks like the Klingons have formulated a battle position, so I'm into that.
I tell you, that is the weirdest thing, and it's going around on the net. I'll actually publish
That's nuts. I put it out all of mine too.
I'm just gonna, I've got two gamma bursts as well. I mean, there's so much going on, so much going on. We've just had two gamma bursts. Now, was it one from Perseus and one from, oh, I can't remember the other name, but like Swan. But anyway, two gamma bursts from, you know, random places. Not from our sun, but from random places. That's like, that ribbon that we've been talking about has hit somewhere else, don't you think?
I think so. We have been getting gamma. Is that me? Am I echoing?
Yeah, maybe I'll just turn my speakers down a little bit. There we go.
Okay. We have been getting gamma bursts and magnetars again, and those are the most powerful electric, it's almost like a strobe pulse that we can even measure. And it's absolutely amazing what the other planets are doing. We would think that our place is pretty active, our planet, but it's not in comparison to all the other ones. The only thing in this solar system that is quiet is the sun and us. Now, we can be, of course, because of all the geoengineering, the terraforming, that could be slowing it down, maybe. We have the Pacific that's acting. Oh, the Pacific looks like, and I did a little article today, because I think the Pacific Ocean is in dire straits right now. In general.
It so is. I mean, when you look at the pollution from Fukushima, that is just, the only way out of this is that somehow the planet goes kaboom and all radioactivity is transformed into some other form. Food. You know, food for bacteria or something. I don't know.
Well, we have this Pacific Rim event, by the way, and I did watch some of that movie. It looks like they're getting ready to let loose the Kraken. The Atlantic is suspiciously quiet, although it does have those 8 vortices that have opened up, and scientists are at least being honest, saying, yeah, we don't know what that is. It's spewing iron.
Yes.
Which makes no sense. And they can't get close enough because the iron's in the middle and the vortices are around it. You can't go there. And it's already in 2 months pushed the African plate and the North American plate apart. So, you know, not just the stuff we're doing to each other. It's incredible what's going on. Right. I'm saying let loose the crack and let's go.
Well, to me, that's Expando Planet. That's how the planet expands. This stuff pours out. There are magnetic vortices as the iron is squiddled in through tiny gaps through to the surface and that pushes the plates apart. And not only that, but that said iron also contributes to being a large metal plate that is on the surface of the silicon crust. And as the plate rotates, if there just happens to be a large magnetic body in the local vicinity, will cause the Earth to tilt even further downwards, thus causing a wobble that has been noticed. So,
absolutely, we're definitely in the times. You know, if people were waiting for the event, well, I don't know how many more clues we're going to get. It's here.
Yeah, it definitely feels like. Well, I mean, like I said, there's this sense of impending excitement, something happening. It's not impending doom. That's the thing. It's like impending doom, but it's the opposite. It's whatever, impending good mood. whatever it is, it's like I just noticed that doom is the back is mood backwards. It's this sense of impending something. Maybe it's a feeling that we've never experienced before, and that's why I haven't got a name for it.
It's like there's this splitting event that we've talked about. You know, we're realizing that we're seeing so many Earth changes right now that are incredible. You know, the oceans are all acidifying right now. So either the terraforming has produced an entirely new entity. Did I tell you about that weird thing I saw today?
No.
Okay, so I go out for my walks early in the morning. So you see all kinds of little critters and bunnies and deer sometimes and, you know, like little stuff. Now, I saw this thing and I swear to God, I followed it because it was the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. At first, it looked like a really big squirrel. You know, blackish looking on the outside. And then it kind of turned around and it had a long tail, like long, that went from my elbow to the tops of my fingers. Long. And it was striped, Jay. Striped vertically. I've never seen anything quite like this. I don't know what it is.
It was like a cross between a skunk and a squirrel.
Well, skunks have they have vertical lines on its tail. This one had rings. So horizontal.
Like a raccoon.
It was the size of a raccoon with a long tail, but too skinny, and its face was squirrely. But this long tail, none of these three animals have them. Weird. So I was telling people on Facebook this thing, and I'm, you know, immediately I think it's the radiation because we've already noticed that the bugs are much, much bigger this year. You know, and the strange animal deaths and all that kind of stuff. So people have been sending me pictures on all day but it could be, you know, some of them are composite animals and people are just really funny. But the closest that it looks to is an animal that's more raccoon. It's called a ring-tailed cat. Raccoon family. But they're only in West South America. And I guess some states. Really weird. I can show you guys a picture of this thing because it's just... It looked like a lemur. And I went, okay, you know what? I'm going to start drinking first thing in the morning if I'm going to be seeing Manaman.
maybe one of your elite neighbors has had one as a pet.
Well, it was outside. Either that or it's some sort of shenanigans going on and different species are playing with each other and got carried away. I don't know what that is. It's a weird looking little thing. Looks kind of like a lemur. One of those animals that has no idea what it is.
I'm just loading up the picture here.
Okay.
Weird ass animals. Yeah, that's something like a ring-tailed cat. Oh, sweet. Sweet. It's got like rounded ears like a lemur. Wow. That's great.
See, what way to do it up here?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm walking, all of a sudden I see this a straight tail up line. I'm like, what? And what are you there, Mr. Hallucination?
What did I just have in my coffee?
did I
have that special coffee that I left in the back of the freezer? That wasn't really coffee at all.
I was concerned. So definitely changes.
Well, you know,
for people, and
I think this is like it's like the crossover between the night shift and the day shift. At a hospital, all the different staff. You know, some, you know, the radiologists go home, the cleaners pack up, and the, you know, clerical staff come along, and you know, there's a kind of changeover moment. Doesn't happen all at once, but you know, by a certain day, by a certain hour of the day, the day shift is all arrived, and the night shift has all gone home. And I think there's a relationship between that and the animals that exist given the environments that we have on the planet at the moment. And perhaps there are some creatures that are more resistant, let's say, to a slightly more radioactive environment than existed before. And who knows what the humans are going to do. If we can evolve in one generation, what are we going to be able to do? Will there be humans who will suddenly spontaneously evolve to be able to live with radiation, to thrive on it? Humans that can't do without radiation.
Well, and surprisingly enough, and I was reading this study, I think about a month and a half ago, that actually we can adapt to radiation in a way that perhaps only a slow leak would allow us to. Just like, it's almost like building up an immunity to a virus. If you're around something, your body gets stronger. And if you get get away from it, you get a chance to rebuild your immune system. And your body slowly starts adapting and becoming strong enough to resist it. There are also breathing exercises that can be done relatively simply. Little exercises like adapting yourself to the cold will help stir your immunity. Now, I know some people are so shocked by that and don't want to go in a cold shower or bath, but what firemen do when they're in really, you know, hot fires is they take a tub of water and just submerge their arms up to their elbow. That's enough to cool your entire system down. Even just wearing putting a cold pack on your hands cools down your whole system. You guys start doing that every day. We can, at least in our own selves, be strong enough to take what's going on for however long it lasts, hopefully, because at least mainstream media is talking about it, even though I've been freaking out for 2 years. Have I not been freaking out?
Stay cool, my friend.
That's why I go, and I need to jump in the cold thing all the time anyway.
Did you see that? It was a really, really cute thing. It's really hot in Michigan, and there's a lady who's been freezing bowls of water, and there's a photo of this really, really sweet squirrel that was so so relaxed by the cool of this bowl that he fell asleep draped over this bowl of ice. It's absolutely cute.
I have that picture. I thought he'd been drinking.
He looks like it. He looks like it. It's like
he's been sitting in this cup, and he's just like,
bless.
And I thought that maybe, you know, he had had too much to drink the night before, and that's how strange mutated animals happen.
Doing a bit of Irish yoga. But anyway, back to your point. I think that there's this idea that, you know, things become extinct. And I think that, you know, things come and go. When it's appropriate, you know, for instance, mushrooms will grow in the forest when the time of year is entirely appropriate, and they won't at any other time. They'll just arrive at this point. But, you know, they're alive all the rest of the time. They're doing their, you know, sort of underground thread thing, but they're not doing the mushroom thing. So it's only when conditions are right do things manifest like that. So when conditions are wrong, things go extinct. And I don't think we should really worry about it too much. I know there's the whole thing, you know, oh, we're killing all the animals, blah, 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 blah. We're killing the planet. Actually, what we really need to do is focus on getting to the beings who are making this thing happening and just stopping them and their machinations and get on with things. And I think we should stop worrying about politics. I think we should stop worrying about pharma. I think we should stop worrying about wars and who's our enemy, because this is our enemy. They have been inside our fortress walls for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Countless thousands, you have no idea, and they're not going to get away with it. What do you reckon, Trace?
Well, you know, in every book we've ever written, we talk about fighting the same war, basically, you know, and it always starts off with usury and churches and religions and synagogues, or, you know, whatever temple, and then the priests come, and then there's a king, and then there are usually things falling from the sky and exploding, and then we kill the king and we kill the priests, and then we do the same thing again. I'm hoping this time that we remember and don't let it happen again.
Yeah, we just need to stop worrying that the king's the king and the priest is the priest, and realize that we're all king and priest in our own universe. Nobody needs to be king and priest for us. And so it's like that scene in Babylon 5 when, you know, he's looking at the beings who we call the demons and the beings that we call the angels, and he's saying, get the heck out, both of you. We don't need your interference, and we don't need your rules, and we don't need your chaos. So bugger off and let us get on with it. And I think this is the moment. This is the moment of maturity, and that's what the event is. This is humanity waking up and taking it all on, getting rid of religions at all. You know, find out what your moral code is by seeing what the reality is, seeing what really happens, not the result of what might happen because of some unseen bloke in the sky. Come on.
Yeah, some mystical guy who, you know, is going to hate you if if you're not good, if you don't worship him right, or I think we need to let all that kind of stuff go.
Yeah, what's with all the worship business? I mean, come on. Is it that humans need to worship something?
Or something is feeding on that energy.
Or
and
have people...
make sure.
Or have humans been programmed to worship something?
Feed the beast.
Feed the beast.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've been programmed to worship something. I know how crazy that sounds, guys, but yeah, I do.
Feed the hand that bites you.
Yeah. Feed that bad daddy.
Yeah.
Because why do we keep electing bad daddies? Keep
absolutely. Yeah.
Having male, these father figures. It's like we've gone through this horrific loss of our father or something, but we have fathers. And if anything, society is trying to tear the fathers away from, you know, families. I don't know how long this has gone on, but there's definitely some father figure that is eating our love and our hate. And probably both, as a matter of fact, because I know we were going to be horrified, but I've read the books and it looks like their idea of Satan and their idea of God is the exact same guy. So you can pick a side if you want, but you're still worshiping the same beast.
So
feel free to send me email.
Tracy Kennedy.
Tracy Kennedy.
Yeah, what is your email?
Yeah, never mind. I'm telling you guys that to me. No, it's t_Kennedy@rogers.com.
There you go. That's easy enough.
Yeah, but you can find me on Facebook.
Yeah.
A lot of news. There's a lot of places.
Yeah. I mean, you have your own show, turtleislandnews.info.
That info, yeah, I'm all over.
Yeah, I have everbeyond.info. Yeah, it must be a radio station thing. That's a good idea.
That info? Yours is that info, eh?
Yeah, it's good, because it's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap. .com costs more.
Yeah, much more. So.
So we can be found.
Yeah.
If you need to yell at me for saying they're not the same guy, because it says in the Bible. The Bible was written in around the 1500s, because up until then the letter J was not used.
So how could there be Jesus?
That's a European invention. There was a JC, but that's Julius Caesar, which is not too surprising if you start reading the history of that book. So anyway, all of these religions and stuff, and you have to do this certain thing and worship the right way, instead of going outside and appreciating what's out there and how nature's good to us and this planet has provided for us and still is providing. There's beautiful other people to play with. We're not here alone. There's animals and there's plants and there's water, and we have an abundant, beautiful place. Why don't we just start appreciating that and not being so mean to everything, and let the little gods die as they need to. Let them die.
Don't feed the gods.
Don't feed the gods.
I mean, it might be, you know, one day we could have a whole bunch of, you know, sort of 15-foot people held behind cages for the public all to see.
And to poke.
And to poke, yeah. Yeah, look at you, with a big stick. Wouldn't that be funny?
That's right.
And they try with the whole big voice thing.
Yeah, do the scary
thing. I haven't got it set up, but it's a... I won't. this is the sound of, if anybody's familiar with the Stargate series, the sound of the voice of the Gua'uld, which is basically, it's like a sound of the sound of human voice, but shifted down about a fifth. basically it represents a larger vocal cavity, so it will represent a much lower frequency. There's another octave of
frequency. It almost sounds like it's harmonic, you know, that there's not just one voice, but two?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's very similar to, for instance, if you have a voice of a person who sounds more like this. That's two voices, and it would be very, very funny if that you speed up an Anunnaki voice, and they actually just sound like this, indeed. But they don't sound at all scary. That they actually sound very much like more of a nerd. And a geek than anyone, like, you know, a bit like the old Wizard of Oz job, you know. Wouldn't that be funny?
He's the wizard.
He's a wonderful
wizard.
He
lives in Oz. How about that, people? And he had that voice, too. I just got the shivers.
Yeah, well, it works. I mean, again, it's probably something that humans are programmed to obey.
To,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You know, go to sleep. And all of those sort of things that just seem to happen all by themselves. Very, very odd things happen like that. Very indeed.
Yes.
So, Anunnaki voices. Yeah, who are the Anunnaki? We are on a quest to find out who the Anunnaki are, because I think this is really, you know, the whole Project Camelot. That's where Kerry started. Like, who are the Anunnaki? This is her ongoing quest. This is what she's trying to find out. And when you look into it, it takes you all down these rabbit holes, all these down interconnected tunnels, all these interconnected projects. That seem to be something to do with the military-industrial complex, big pharma, war, drugs, government agencies, corporations, oil, and weapons, and the British Empire, and all the way back to John Dee. How funny. This is another of our little threads that we've been exploring over these last 3 years, hasn't it, John Dee?
It sure is. Yeah, he was a big part of our research.
So,
the Queen Spy.
Yeah. Well, what did you learn? Give us a nutshell of who is John, who was, possibly is, John Dee, and what did he do for us? To us, for us.
Well, you have to remember that this was one of the...
Oh, Tracy? Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. John Dee. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, John Dee. He's the man. That's the one. That's the trigger. Let's see. Yes. All I have to do is say two words. We're back on the air, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Well, we might be back on the air. Let's try that again. Tracy, are you back with me?
I'm back.
Good, good. Anyway, so that was fun.
Yes, John Dee.
Just about to open your mouth. Brothers and sisters, this is a really, really, really important person that you need to know who is. Tracy and I have made many shows a long time ago. We were talking about John Dee and who he was. Mm-hmm. But let's see if we can get it nutshelled without being kicked off by the Fusion. I hope, actually, Fusion Center guys, I really hope you should be listening to what we're about to tell you, because it will tell you why you're there, where you are, and who you're working for. So, on you go, my love.
Well, he was a visionary. one of the great minds of our times, believe it or not, had one of the best stocked libraries on the planet. They said that his library actually rivaled the Vatican's in some of the knowledge, so he was heavy. He applied Euclidean geometry to navigation, was the first who did it, modern times, and built instruments to apply this Euclid, trained the first great navigators, developed maps, charted the northeast and northwest passages. He was the one who divided the globe that you see in schools, into pieces. Those sections, believe it or not, were supposed to divide the world specifically. Now, he was an angel conjurer with his sidekick, Kelly. Kelly, who was kind of a, flim-flam artist. You know, he would tell people he could do stuff, and he couldn't actually do it. But the angels, and now Jundi was doing some heavily experimenting in medicines, and he was some stoned, by the way, when this started happening. And Kelly, who had no power of his own, it seems like what he could do is make suggestions. And he may have been a medium in some way, enough to learn signals from people and maybe even hypnotize anyway. But angels told Jundi, long story short, that Britain would have in their, empire, and it would be vast. He used this obsidian showstone, basically, which came from the Aztecs and the Mayans and still rests in the British Museum, along with his conjuring table that explains the Enochian alphabet that he used in angel language. The angelic stuff that we look at, even the writings in it, if you look at that, you'll see that he's using symbols of the stars that are still used. He was philosopher and conjurer and, some would say, head wizard to Queen Elizabeth. He did her horoscope and determined her coronation date and many other things. And she used to come to him on her horse and just like leave. So there had been rumors they were lovers, but she seemed like quite the busy woman, so I don't know. He was the one who founded the Rosicrucian Order, which is kind of the Protestant response to the Jesuits, alchemist, hermeticist, Kabbalist, adept in both esoteric and occult lore, again, translator of Euclid. He did mapping for mathematical studies for the future, which was interesting in itself. He physically admitted that he put a hex on the Spanish Armada. And this is written, believe it or not, which is why there was bad weather in England, because they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. It was commissioned by Elizabeth to establish a legal foundation for all the colonization of North America, which they already knew about. He was the one that also told the Vatican how they were going to do this, how they were going to make it legal. What else? He took this group over to New England in the Middle Ages and established a colony there, actually intermarried with Indians, and he brought a Welsh prince over, but there is little spoken of that, and it's not a legend. It's still there. He was Prospero, Shakespeare, who is interesting in itself. He was Prospero in Shakespeare's work. He was also King Lear. He sold the Voynich manuscript, which is very different, most mysterious cipher, still working on that being deciphered. It's supposed to be like the Mount Everest. That was his. He sold that to the Holy Roman Emperor, Rudolf II, for a lot of gold. Basically, it resides right now in Yale. Probably herbalist and did an almanac to several of the kings. Greatest library, of course, in all of Europe for a long time. Some of his work, the Rosicrucian Enlightenment, is very, very heavy. Now, this guy, interesting and scary, supposedly made a deal with the devil. And he writes in great detail about the angels that he was speaking to, one who was very soft and sweet and gentle, but as he went on with this relationship with her, things started getting twisted. Now, I think this has more to do with Kelly, who was after Jonty's wife at the time and had talked him into doing a wife swap, saying, and the angel suggested it, as a matter of fact, in one of their channeling sessions. They did that. Jonty died soon after, as a matter of fact. Well, his wife had gotten pregnant, and then the baby was born, and he died. Kelly, who was running his mouth off that him and Jonty had gone to Poland because there was this mysterious substance in a fountain that's still there, and it kind of sounds like it was a meteor drop, but they had claimed that they actually found out how to make gold, transmute gold. So Kelly was spouting his mouth off and got taken and put into a tower, and he still wouldn't tell how to do it, so they're not sure if he could do it or not. He escaped, he was caught, they chopped off one leg, he did again, they chopped off another. He never actually made gold, but in his manuscripts, one of which supposedly unfound, because the ones he did that were found says how many there are, basically, he said that he made gold for the queen. So he's done a lot of esoteric work, 5 books of mystery. He records these startling results with all of his angel magic that had been kept secret and only discovered actually by accident after his death, because people didn't know exactly what he was doing. You can still find that. You have the early versions of the angelic or the Enochian script, Enoch, beloved of God kind of thing. They have that. Mysterium Libri Sextus et Sanctus. It was revealed to Dr. D by the angels. This book, described as the book of secrets and the key to this world. Liber Locan, or Book of Enoch. Very, very interesting. But when he started doing this channeling, some of the things he came up with were really startling. He's written all kinds of magical tests. His own summary in the form of his own personal grimoire of all of his techniques for communicating with angels. And he also has one short one and a lot of books, but one's called The Trumpet of Venus. In this little magical test, he said everything that he's doing predated his magical workings, but he called them that, magical workings, that everyone else would look to his work and learn. Interesting, scary, scary man. I hope that's okay off the top of my head, Jay.
Wow, wow, amazing. Amount of scholarly detail you went into there, Tracy. Thank you very much.
When you asked me.
Well, yeah, that's great.
You were the one who asked me to look into him, right?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, right?
It's true. And so What we also learn is that this, it's a long story.
A long story. Oh, and I forgot the spy stuff.
The spy stuff? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you forgot the spy stuff. You forgot the communications network stuff. You forgot and most of all, you know what you forgot. But maybe we should leave that for another show, when we can really go into that in a bit more detail. And
yes,
I'm.
It's going to take a lot.
Yeah, because maybe this is more than one show. This is a lot of research that we need to do to put across a convincing and complete picture, which I mean, basically encompasses everything that we're facing today. So. Well, we better do it quick. Maybe we should have a few round tables and put it out as soon as we can.
I'll look it up. I think I have all of my stuff on him.
Yeah.
I think I have all the stuff that I did. So, yeah, I'll look it up.
So, one thing about this gentleman is that he would travel a lot, and he was like a. You could say an ambassador, or he appeared to be like a nobleman, a statesman, you know, going from place to place.
Powerful man.
But he also regarded himself as the eyes and ears of Queen Elizabeth. And so when he signed his letters, he made a symbol that looked like a pair of spectacles. Or, if you read it another way, 007.
That's right. And I think we've done a show on this for sure, and I was telling you that I think he was the one who trained the real Shakespeare.
Sorry. I was rabbiting away.
Here he is.
Yeah, I'm back. There he was, gone. And here he is. there he isn't, back. And so we had this fellow who was, like, all in all, quite an amazing fellow. I mean, quite an accomplished this, that, and the other. He was a violinist as well, wasn't he? He's like, you know, like a complete Renaissance person.
Renaissance man.
Yeah. So, and it seems to be that he had a lot to do with what we see as the Renaissance. And he was, in fact, a key figure. And London itself was a key ground zero, if you like, for this revolution that has spread out across the planet, across the solar system, if you like, because actually that's what they want, it's a quest. It's a bit like the Manhattan Project, I think, you know, the Manhattan Project was probably part of this, the space race. That it's something that we're trying to achieve. So it's very, very interesting. I wonder how big they've got the portal yet.
They're working on it. They're working on it. And thank you very much, Diana Fraser. She sent me the Enochian alphabet, Language of the Angels. Now, I'll look at that. No, it's 8 parts. It's awesome. Thank you very much. But this is probably going to be one of those I don't read. Believe it or not, I have to go with my grandma. I'm a siren and should not be reading this stuff to you out loud.
Your voice will draw me off to the rocks.
I got into once and everyone started like almost nodding off. I'm like, hey. Realize I'm putting a spell on you. Is everyone okay with that? They're like, yeah, keep going. I'm like, fine, okay.
I put a spell on you.
Anyway, so meanwhile.
Yeah, see? Work, and I haven't even done it.
So,
We're in those times. Are you going to play that thing you sent me? I think you did brilliant work. Editing, you know.
I think it needs
or is that
some
just for us.
It's a kind of it's inner for the moment, but I think it will form the nugget around which a larger work that involves more people will arise, and I think that we can look forward to that in the near future, really. And that's about as much as I can say about it at the moment.
It's
a work in progress, and not everybody who's involved knows that they're involved yet. So so we're going to bring that together.
So we're going to surprise everybody.
Yeah,
it'll be good. You know, we've had so many discussions over these 3 years. It's even longer. My husband passed 5 years in December, and I started talking to you guys later that year. You and Dave and Tobias, and we all met at Journeys with Rebecca.
That's right, in the pod.
in the pod room. In the pod room, yes we did.
And it was all very friendly.
It was.
And half of us are now our own radio hosts, run our own radio stations.
Yes, we are.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Very cat.
That one really sparked us all, didn't it?
Very catalytic. And I've been looking back, and I've been doing radio because Dave says we were going to go over to, or we were having the idea about going over to Live 365, and I thought, wow, that's where I started. The first internet radio I did was on Live 365, with their rather cumbersome studio that had a rather excellent archiving program, I have to say. I might see if I can dig out a copy for you, because it's really a very nice little organizer. Meanwhile, I'm sorry, Chris. Go on.
No, go.
Huh? Today's situation, right? So we're in the middle of gamma bursts. We're in the middle of no CMEs, but we're also seeing these odd vehicles that look like three luminescent fluorescent tubes, they remind me a little bit of rice flails, you know, those nunchuckers from Kung Fu, like this the central thing, and there's these two wings. Let me just roll back and tell people what I'm talking about. If you go into YouTube and enter something like Comet Ison. Where are we?
I've got a lot of stuff as well too.
Yeah. I mean, just go to Tracy's website, turtleislandnews.info, and you'll see some graphic there of there's this Ison. Thing, right? Ison.
And it's this weird thing.
It's weird. I mean, okay, right. A comet. Normally,
I have one
go on.
Picture that it looks like. That thing you see in Egyptian, like with a ball in the middle and wings and everything.
Oh, the winged globe, yes.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey.
And that's
you.
That's Nibiru. I mean, that's always been called Nibiru or Planet X. And then there's this other thing where you can see three distinct lights. They look like, to me, they look like big fluorescent tubes, or what would happen if you had fluorescent tubes in space that were 200,000 miles long. They're like really, really bright, like a plasma or something. It's a bluish looking light to me. But it's not a single body. It's not a lump of ice. It's not a dirty snowball. It's not a bleeding comet. No, it ain't.
No, it's I'm standing by what I said earlier. This is a Klingon battle formation. That's what it is.
The Klingons. Oh, yes.
I like them. They're my favorite.
You know, the Klingons used to be like the most feared guys, and compared with the Borg, they're like pussycats. It's amazing, isn't it? They're like our friends now. We like
they're
Klingons.
Like our buddies.
We want to have.
Yeah, considering what we're fighting against here, they don't seem quite so bad.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are, potentially. I mean, at least they're the same size as us.
Closer to us.
So, it looks like I was absolutely correct with the Mountain Time changeover issue and the...
Wonderful. You got your girl back?
I got my girl back, yeah.
Wonderful. Because I want to hear about the crystals and the stuff, too.
Yeah, so we're going to have to... I imagine that she's going to speak very, very quickly. So everybody grab their pitch shifters and their... time tempo shifters, and we'll move into being able. It's actually a very useful device. I wish one could have one that you could sort of have. I suppose you could get an app on your mobile phone, like a voice changer, and you can certainly get one from Skype, because I've been researching it, and you can download an app for Skype that will change your voice. And it will do all sorts of nice things to your voice, but you can kind of speed it up and slow it down and do that go old voice stuff as well.
No, thank you.
So I really think it would be funny to take that and apply that to an Anunnaki voice and see if it's actually just a nerdy sound. Just they sound like sort of big space nerds.
Hey, maybe
it would really help with the fear thing.
That's right. If we could remodulate their voice and they sound like little Muppets.
That's right.
I'm into that. That's
really good. Oh well, Tracy, it's been excellent talking to you this afternoon, and
always a pleasure, Jay.
So we've got some more work to do on that, and a few people to rope in, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Okay, I'm going to listen to you in the room, and have a wonderful show. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you very much, Trace. Good night.
Bye for now.
So, while we're here, I'm going to play a tune, and we'll come back with our guest. This is The Sons of Arca with Stanley Unwin and John Cooper Clarke. What more can you want? The sky shall vanish.
All right.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond, September the 1st, 2013. Happy birthday, Dad! it's a listener supported situation here at WolfSpiritRadio.com and also at NoBordersRadio.com here in Scotland. If you would like to contribute, there are several ways of doing it. There is a donate button on the website itself, but also you can subscribe to the archives, which are at a very low rate of $5 a month, to access our gigabytes and gigabytes. I mean, it's an unbelievably huge amount of talk radio, high quality information and entertainment, going back nearly 3 years now. So this is all part of the enormous package that you can, you could just bleed dry in the space of a month for your $5. I don't mind. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Just help us. And we're putting out some great information and bringing on some very, very interesting and key people for the needs of the moment. Tonight, my guest is Karen Ann McDonald from Saskatchewan. From Saskatoon in Saskatchewan, which is a really weird word that doesn't normally occur in most people's head, but I've had it in my head for a couple of weeks now. So it's very interesting that I was introduced to you by Jay, Mr. Larson, who has been a guest on my shows like last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So this long chain of events brings me to saying good evening to Karen Ann McDonald, clan mother, Karen Ann McDonald, from Saskatchewan. Hello.
Well, hello, darling. Actually, it's funny. We always go, we're from the creator, but we kind of landed here in Saskatoon. It's beautiful. If you actually want to look on the, what's called the Saskatchewan River, beautiful, beautiful city right now. So, but more importantly, as we'll be on our way, I guess, shortly back to Nelson. So for our setup for our peace camp. So it's a temporary, holding thing here, just picking up our children and ready to, depart here shortly in a bit.
All right. So what's your situation there? Are you in a tent, in a yurt, in a hotel, or what?
Oh, you know, it's just amazing, Jay. We grew up actually in Saskatoon. We attended the University of Saskatchewan, and after I was finished nursing, actually had my own quantum, one of the first state of the arts of quantum medical centers here. So it was actually also a free natural health center. So we did everything here from like doing skill biofeedback, radionics, free energy, massage, oils. We had a free lending library, crystals. I hear you were talking about yours, Tassane, but we had an amethyst crystal biomat, and we used crystals, and I used to develop and teach actually how to create organite, that sort of thing. And then our most piece de la resistance was called the colonic room. So we kind of like assessed you, massaged, marinated you, and flushed everything out. It was a moving experience, let me tell you. So, but yeah, with the way things are going with pole shifts, and we knew things were changing, and that we wished to go into a place where we could secure and reclaim actually land. So that's what we've done. We've reclaimed the crown land. And so in Saskatoon today, I happened to be, my girlfriend was sweet enough, Judy, to give myself and Alex, I've got my 19-year-old boy with me right now, and soon to hopefully get my 20-year-old girl, Allie, as well. And we're looking to do a relocation out to Nelson because we are looking at what's coming up with the impending pole shift. So we've been out there for a couple of years, like, you know, learning biodynamics and being where some of the best waters are in the world, and the monatomics and all the greatest hot springs and free hot springs you could ever imagine are out there. So it's one of the most beautiful, pristine places. And we're actually up on a mountain there called Crystal Mountain. So some of the best, as I said, monatomics are up there, and on the ley lines, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So places like Halcyon and the Cusp and Nelson, it's a beautiful area. Actually, there's friends of mine that have Green Song Sanctuary, and it actually looks like something out of, like, you know, just like, you know, Royal Meath or something when I'm looking at the Taramont. So
a very sparkly world indeed.
Beautiful. Absolutely. So we're getting really set to relocate out there for the pole shift. So that's kind of where, you know, the plan is, I guess, tentatively right now. So, yeah, actually, I just, I apologize too for being late here too. We've had a bit of a time thing, I guess, between your time and ours. But, yeah, we just finished actually doing some biofeedback, doing essential oils, marinating people with, you know, young living oils like joy and peace and calming and frankincense and myrrh. So, you know, I have to apologize, but we just got three more people ready to come to Nelson with us and join our little pit home there. So that's what we're looking at, is we'll be looking at round underground homes and stuff like that. We're getting really excited about that. You know, dealing with a lot of people, let's say like Patty Broussard for World Radiation Groups, and people, you know, been meeting like David Wolf with the Raw Foods and Rishak Lightwand, and I mean, there's just Gary Barker, there's like just an onslaught of people that have been so instrumental in helping, and Lucas is phenomenal. I mean, we've been spending a lot of time with him. Actually, he's not too far from you. And Lucas Andrew has been phenomenal in assisting us in literally delivering the proclamations and things we've been dealing with, actually Congress, like for Obama and stuff, and starting to notice these people and give them the proclamation and start laying down the peace laws. And then we'll have friends like Fritz as well that will be running them through into the Peace Palace. So we've got another proclamation to run into the courts actually September 9th. So there's a lot going on. It's a beautiful thing. It's a time of peace, and we're getting excited. And, you know, we just wanted to kind of invite anyone, if they wanted to come that way, it's a good place to be for the upcoming times.
Well, it's very interesting because in the first hour I was discussing with Tracy this feeling that I've had for the last few, well, I suppose for most of 2013, right. And it's just getting more and more intense, and it's that little tickle of like it all, like when you're a kid, you know, Christmas is coming, that sort of feeling. I was brought up Jewish, but you know, we still had, we, you know, there, it was palpable, this excitement that was building, and I've had something like that building up within me. It's like a sense of something is about to happen, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But, and there's a but, but, you know, I don't know what it is. Can you put your finger on something a little more expressible for me? I mean, because I can't say it. The words don't come out of my mouth. What this feeling is, it's like nothing I've ever felt before, and or maybe not for a very, very, very long time that I still don't have a name for. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, we could be nameless. That's good. You know, we don't have to name it. That's good. But the expression, I think, is what people are feeling is this excitement. Those of us that are really prepared realize that there's something really wonderful coming on. And we really want to take the fear out of this whole pole shift thing that's been, you know, occurring. And what we're looking at is like developing different things. We're sitting actually with some of the records from what's called Meredith Quinn tribal laws. And so a lot of that is what we're doing, is piecing things back together, is there have been records actually kept for the previous pole shifts or ice ages or migrations or times of purification. And really, it's an internal cleansing. And it's each one of us getting our inner, you know, so you've got so inside and so out, and, you know, the micro and the macro and the, you know, so is above, so is below. So as things are actually starting to align, this is a great thing. Even with the comets or Icyon, however we want to look at the shift coming in, it's about people starting to be self-accountable. And so what we've been doing is really getting people on what are some of the best ways to get prepared. And this is actually, it's a great feeling because it's starting, people are starting to feel like freedom. It's starting like, this is going to be really fun. And so those of us that are at peace and we've been doing what we practice, natural law or what we call universal law, like for myself, we're commerce free, we're off the grid. And if that's okay, that's what we do with all our friends and the way we're doing things. The Sirius or Bear Clan is actually to do with coming back to our genetic or our gens or our clans or our original tribes, but our original bloodlines, our signatures. And it's almost like the gathering of the clans. That's literally what we're doing. And anyone that wants to come, they can come play out there, but we're going to do everything commerce free. The times that are coming are to lay down what's called the peace law. And a lot of people think, oh, that's everything's all fluff and stuff and everything's great, but it will be. But the thing is, it's about being commerce free. It's about doing things benevolently. It's about leaving everything at peace, the crystals in the earth, not to be mining, not to be doing things like this. Also going into times where, you know, not killing animals, treating ourselves properly, and having the best foods ever. So growing the best superfoods or goji berries or whatever we have out there, and coming back to things, having cacao, having, you know, joy, having music, you know, having the tonations. That's what Luke and I are actually doing a lot of, is piecing back together the Meredith Quinn, what was just the Bear Clan laws, and also the Eagle Clan and stuff that was from Meredith Quinn, and putting these back into order, because the clan moms are the ones that actually set the pace for actually the pole shifts. And so this is getting people ready, and there is going to be a cleansing. It's like having a baby, and maybe you haven't had that experience, and maybe some of the women have. But
well, by proxy, I have, and you know, I've been part of the birth and all that. Yeah, but I understand that you know, it's not without pain, is the analogy. Is that right?
Well, you know what? Actually, it can be without pain, and when you have, there is such a thing as using essential oils. My big joy in life is actually marinating people, or, you know, using the frankincense, myrrh, but actually it can be. You can actually have spiritual, what they call midwifery, or having the delivery of our children. So actually there is a way to do it where you get actually very almost high and euphoric. And so there are ways to do that that way. So, but it is, it's like a child coming and bearing fruit. We know roughly what the signs are. We're going through that sort of, you know, things are moving around. But that's actually where a lot of people, and people are laughing, but it's literally like having a colonic. And things have to be washed out. So consider that like Noah's Ark. We're from the lineage of Noah's Ark or Eye of Isis. That's how far back we can trace our bloodlines. And so this is the same thing as the flood time. So it's kind of like, how would you do an internal flush or a flooding? That's what we do. And so everything's going to be washed anew. And it's like having a whole cleansing. It's like we're going to put the, you know, a baby into this amniotic fluid. And when things are ready, we're going to have a new, you know, earth actually literally delivered. So, yeah, it's going to be wonderful. I'm interested in what you were saying, too, about, you mentioned about Saskatoon was coming up. Was that like in a dream or how it just it seemed to come into your field?
How can I put this? I just get a load of stuff in my head all the time. I get these ideas. I get neat ideas for things. I get stupid ideas. I get good ideas. I get bad ideas. All sorts of ideas. They pass through my mind because I realize that thoughts are things that have people. Rather than people having thoughts, you know, it's like, you know, but I'm not a generator of thoughts. I can only polish what is already there. So here is the thing is that, do you ever get, what the Germans call an earworm?
You know, that's a new term to me.
All right. So you're wandering down the street and a car goes past and the sound of its exhaust reminds you of a song that you heard. And that song then starts developing through your mind and bubbling up and bubbling up. And eventually you get to hear the chorus and the whole thing. And it's just going round and 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 round your head. It's that kind of, that's an earworm, you know, this thing that kind of drives you mad. And the only way to stop it, I've found, is either to perform the song, because I can sing songs, or to, you know, go on YouTube and listening to a song on YouTube. And that's what they call an earworm.
I thought it was something, like, is this like an earth and we're talking wormholes?
But do you understand what I'm saying now?
We oversound it, actually. And, you know, for the intonation, yeah, it's the time, we're actually developing what's called the intonations for the creation. Things that we will be actually all verbalizing and like a, you know, just even learning what the terminology means. But yeah, actually those creation tones, that's what we're playing with right now. It's like the C sharp and getting those equations so that we can each line up and start toning those things through the chakras and having our own songs. Not at all is what we use, but we use the term intonation. Song actually means something different. So there's a little bit of difference in the language that we'll be using, but nonetheless, we'll be able to communicate that way. But we're having so much fun for that. But yeah, I know exactly what it means. It goes around and around and you got to get that out. And that's when we're starting to do even like the bear song. You know, I've been putting that up. And if people want to go to Facebook, that's actually where I'm doing the majority of actually the communication right now, is delivering it through Karen Ann McDonald on Facebook. And I'm way over 5,000. So you can go follow there. But the other place, I just opened a brand new account. There's a picture of myself with David Avocado Wolf, who's one of the forerunners too in free energy, law, technology, longevity technology, earthing, and he's probably been the biggest forerunner in bringing superfoods, him and Dr. Gabriel Cousins, to the forefront. So I know he's been actually out in the UK and stuff too, but there's a lot of people in the raw food movement moving that way. And so there's a picture of us there. So that's just Karen McDonald. And then a lot of the different things, because I'm on so many sites, but one of the main ones we're doing some great things with is Patty Broussard site. And a lot of people are quite concerned. And Patty's had some instrumental background. So, and again, we take everything that we're doing collectively. And we're getting a lot of assistance here. And, I mean, we're getting excited. We're looking at these homes that are round, like you said, like yurts. And instead of concrete, how can we upgrade our operating systems here? We're going to go to hempcrete, you know?
Absolutely.
And we're bringing in all our skills and our knowledge. And I've been out there. And, like, you can just come with not a thing. No money's allowed. It's like, you know, it's like going to heaven. It's just what's is, you know, cannot be nailed down or glued or that kind of thing. It's what you're going to take with you that sustains you. And so we're moving into new times. Like, who's out in the UK is actually Jericho Genesis Sunfire. He's an amazing man. Breatharian Solarian. So we're actually moving towards that already ourselves. And Jasmuheen. So those are different things. There's people right now just to, you know, concerned about radiation. Don't be. If you're actually in a high enough state or vibration, you can transmute it. And there's actually couples called the Iradia couple, which is out of Russia right now. And Stuart Swerdlow actually went and interviewed them. Amazing. They're like actually thriving. And this is a time of thrival, but thriving 60,000 times the amount of normal radiation.
Ah, very interesting.
Yeah, so I think we need to look at that. I mean, we've been blessed. It's like, you know, the movie Thrive. It's not about survival. It's not this lower root chakra thing, but we literally have got to do that inner cleansing and, you know, put ourselves in there. I said, even doing an enema or colonic, it's like reattaching back to the womb. It literally is like that umbilical cord. It's, you know, we're not attached to mom on the inside, but how do we do it on the outside? And putting those fluids back, what's, you know, required, like getting people alkaline, getting their pH over 7.4, you know, getting the best spring waters. The guys have set up to findaspring.com. And that's why it's really important, is right now it's going to be about who's got the best water, and we've got it, and protecting those waters. So it's about protecting your waters inside.
Very interesting.
Yeah, what the foods are. And most people have missed this. They think it's some horrendous thing that's coming up, and in fact, it's going to be the most beautiful thing. Like, if you can imagine transcending, as we say, past the duality and the polarity and being self-empowered, well, how does that present to us? It looks like what we call the solar system or the sun or the solar plexus. It's about being off the grid. So firing up the grid is like opening a chakra. It's like a seventh, you know, the seals, the rays, call it whatever we want. We all have different terminologies, but it's having the peace agreements between all of us. And then in there, this, what we call the twin rays, and to be crystal or crystalline in structure. So virtually one of the best, easiest forms assimilable of crystallization to crystal people is actually, do you want to take a guess, Jay?
Let me think. What activity that is a human's favorite activity? Is there anything to do with that?
It could be called the divine alchemy marriage. Water and salt, actually. Yeah. That's love making's right up there. That's exactly it. But yeah, knowing those things in our beloveds and having, you know, being elected and having our chosen and going through this and maintaining that sense of purity and bringing heaven, you know, right onto earth. It's right where we are right now. It's an amazing, amazing time. We're seeing the best of the best. And some other people, it's like, wow, that's just not my story. It just doesn't resonate. But using stuff, let's say, like crystals you talked about, I had the pleasure of being able to be with the seven temples with the Lemurian crystals. And doing that and playing here, even in Saskatoon. Saskatoon has got what's called Waniskewin, or Waniskewin is the correct pronunciation, but it's the medicine wheel of peace. And it's quite funny that we came back here and initiated the peace treaties in Saskatoon. So that is the second largest medicine wheel on this entire continent, which was called the Americas Empire. And so one of the things that's an amazing thing is we were able to put one of the first court cases in as well and get the proclamation into the what's called the Provincial Court of Saskatchewan, because as a clan mother, we're in what's called divine law or first world law. And that's where everyone has the ability to be, is that when you're practicing universal or international law, is that we all come off one of those 13 nations that are run by their clan mothers, and we have clan men. I mean, we wouldn't be here without you guys, you know, having that circle around us as well. And it's about, you know, having that balance again, but adhering back to our original natural laws. And in doing so, we put forth this proclamation into the Saskatoon City Police, and we were able to get one of the first things of no one has to file taxes. So this is literally, you know, a story that's been going on for a long time, but money's not required. And we have put that proclamation in, and it's an amazing thing, is that basically it, Elizabeth was never actually a queen, and nor is she technically a sovereign. She's violated all the different oaths on her coronation oath. She's never coronated properly on our Jacob's or the Stone of Israel or the Lefel Destiny Stone and the artifacts and stuff with Queen Tetefi there, which was really a clan mother, actually. And so that would be like one of the greatest dreams to have this, is to get back and have the coronation, is to take and get our rightful things back and to put things back that should be dispersed back to the original people so we can practice our original laws. And doing so, you know, Luke was instrumental in delivering this to Paul, who acts as the Postmaster General. And literally, as we were laughing about this later, and he's amazing. We've been like decoding things and crop circles and dreams and the alignments and everything and the tones. But literally, as he's walking through there on August the 5th to deliver this, he went through the gates and, you know, the Lion's Gate, right? And I said, you realize you just went through the Lion's Gate, like what was happening cosmology-wise, astrology-wise. And, you know, and then the solar cross and the crossing over, and what we actually did was actually has been prophesized for. I mean, it's an amazing time to be alive and realizing how instrumental we can come back to having this freedom and having things way better than we've ever seen before, having the advantages of having solar, wind, magnetic technology. I mean, who could ask for anything? You can like use the earth as a ground battery, you know, and I think everyone's starting to realize they can start manifesting this. And I think the only panic is not to panic, but most people are concerned about letting go of a system that's all they've known. And in fact, you know, you're going to get it replaced with something way better. It's like, you know, upgrading instead of having, you know, a McDonald's burger. We know what was in there now. And it having been like my dad's off the McDonald's clan, but going into like the upgrade of, wow, I can do like, you know, dehydrated walnut burgers with mushrooms and portabella and like, you know, having the best things ever, you know, it's a new way of doing things, you know, and it's leaving zero carbon imprint and going in there. And so we're looking forward to having these times. And, you know, everything's going to be there. We've got crystals. We've got everything that we can absolutely play. I think it's time to play. And people are so ingrained into working, or, you know, remember they used to call that, what, the Protestant work ethic. Why is work an option? It's not an option in my world. It's about playing and having fun. I do something called, have you heard of matrix energetics?
Well, I mean, I was looking at your list of things that you do, and I know some of them. Mm-hmm. There's what's this SCIO?
Mm-hmm.
Start there.
Oh, let's start there. Okay, that's what I just actually came back. I was, you know, making sure people are healthy so they're ready to like leave there. So, and I'm going to offer, and if that's okay with you, I'd love to do a session with you and gift. And we do this remotely. So it's a remote viewing thing that you can hook up either direct or remote view. But you can look up SCIO. It's a subconscious interactive operating system. It's also called in Europe the QFCI or EFPX. So you can look this up. There are many really good systems out there, life and all sorts of different ones. But I was one of the original operators of these. And so it's basically like radionics. It's very Tesla type thing. And you're able to actually use the grid, and it sends signals through you like harmonic resonance. And what this harmonic resonance does is it's kind of like bouncing signals. So we send a frequency of, let's say, water. Are you hydrated or not? And we send another one of a crystal. And, you know, what's your best crystals? What's your best oils? But more importantly is it can tell us different things. It can actually isolate systems. So we can see if something is in the meridian system, if something's in the organs. So, for example, you might have a kidney stone or a gallstone, or what sometimes they think is actually a tumor or something, which is really just candida or yeast. And so people are all concerned about these things, and they're talking about reptiles and aliens. Really, it's just actually what you would call a parasite infection, and I don't consider them to be parasites. These are actually things that we need to be cleaning out. So this biofeedback scanner is a detector. It's an internal vibration. And so you can hook it up. It's amazing. We can see the aura scans. We can see the chakras. And when I'm looking at the chakra scans, I'm trying to see if you're in alignment for the planetary as we go through this shift of great purification or migration. Or, you know, we've been on my journey for a long time. We've actually done the pole shift already. So we're already there. And so it's about people getting themselves aligned up or tuned or toned in. So each organ or vibration, like your heart, could be the fourth dimension. It responds to different oils like either ylang ylang, but it could also be responding to different crystals like a rose quartz. So we actually can get the remedies, whether it's the crystal, the oil, the sound. It could be a 432 hertz. All sorts of things can be utilized to open up different pathways. And so a lot of people have been, let's say, dumbed down through different foods, fluoridated water. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the best springs and get rid of all the dams and stuff. And our orchards are going to be actually more fertile than the Nile ever was by the time we're done. But what it does is it opens up the flows, determines what it is, and then uses a mirror frequency, kind of like a mirroring. And what it does, it's called zero-point technology, scalar, co-creative, or we call it matrix energetics. We'll call it like two-pointing. So basically, I don't even require the machine, but if you're using the machine, it does a data tester basically of about 9,000 things. So that's something maybe I would love to, if I, you know, hadn't been pre-booked already here. Usually I'd like to do is offer a session, and then I've actually done it ahead of time before we go on air, and then you have the most amazing experiences, and we actually have it running on you. Protecting and putting this like remote viewing shield up for you. So we give you our shields and protect you that way. It's considered to be fifth dimensional technology. It is NASA. And virtually, I kind of like to explain it. It's like we have access to everything. So it's like using HARP or KIM or, you know, the cell towers, but for a benevolent purpose. And so we actually are just seeing what's in your system that's stuck, creating stress or trauma. If there's an area that's not flowing properly and starting to, there's not enough energy or light, it's going to start what we call composting, which is what you call an infection. And just like in nature, when you compost, you get worms and viruses, bacteria. So some people call them reptiles. Some people call them, you know, evil entities and the devil and, like, you know, all sorts of things are even termed in the scriptures. Even in the Essene Gospel of Peace, that's what we're actually coming back to is adhering to those original peace laws, which were the treaties between all of us. And so I think this is the coolest thing ever. This machine is amazing. So I think that would be really fun to, you know, gift that for you. That's part of my gifting is healing. And that's what we do is that we share our gifts benevolently for everyone. That's what community is. It's without commerce. It's without charge. And that we speak freely now. And that we do everything that we can in peace, love, and harmony, and in unity. And that's what freedom is. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful way to live?
Yeah, it sounds like this week. Actually,
exactly.
You know, the thing is, so many things that you're talking about is, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're there with, a lot of our audience are up to speed with. And it's very interesting. It's like, yeah, there's more and more layers of network of everybody who's been doing this and is up to the same sort of speed. You know, your terms may be different, but essentially we're all talking about vibration, frequency, energy. And that's my language. This is what this show's all about. It's about all of that. So, yeah, with that... I have a question from Wolf Baby in the chat room. And does Karen have experience with ground elder as an alkalizing food? Now, I just have to add that Wolf Baby is my girlfriend, and she comes around here, and we have been making, ground elder is a weed that we have here that grows profusely, except when you eat it. And it starts saying, oh, hang on a second, you're eating me. Maybe I won't grow so wildly this time. It's very odd. But anyway, very nice, free growing spinach like thing. Have you come across that in your?
You know what? Yeah, that's actually, it's amazing. This is a great thing about being, having diversification from all over the world, right? Is that, no, I haven't actually had the, you know, chance to actually, look at it. So it's like a ground elder. It's an edible weed, on here. I mean, I think that's an amazing thing. It's also, I'm just looking it up here, bishop's weed. Sometimes we know it as something else. Like you might call it over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was brought here by the Romans, apparently. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, it grows anywhere, and you just need to take a root, and it'll take root, and mm-hmm. And you have to you actually have to keep it kind of in a pile.
I see you check here.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's an amazing thing. I haven't used it myself because mm-hmm. It's also called the herb Guerin, the bishop's weed, gout weed, snow in the mountain. And it's actually part of the carrot family, which is actually quite interesting.
Hmm.
So no, back to your original question, I haven't. It's considered to be, apparently, it looks like an invasive perennial weed, but what people consider to be weeds, like hawkweed and stuff, or things like that, are some of the best greens for actually doing juicing and smoothies and stuff for dehydrating. So a lot of these greens are phenomenal because they are alkalizing. And so I really would promote something this way because that's exactly what we're doing, whether we're talking alfalfa, we're talking, a lot of people are used to using wheatgrass or whatever, but all the grasses and a lot of these things are phenomenal. And so they can actually be dehydrated and then actually powdered. And so that's part of my, you know, whatever you would call the thrival kit. I don't call it a survival bag, but 72-hour backpack kit. So we have things in there. In fact, I've just got moringa and I've got alfalfa packed in mine, and I've got things that say with barley, wheatgrass, powders and stuff like this. So this would be perfect. And a lot of times you can sometimes, depending if you got the appropriate juicer, actually juice them. So, but yeah, no, that's great. No, I'd love to get to meet and that we can kind of all, get our, you know, networks. And I said, it's just like more playmates to have, really.
That's right.
And, you know, bringing in, like we've got lots of stuff in the area, like where I'm in here is the prairies. The middle of the prairies, you know, and we've got lots of grasses out here. But, you know, this is actually where most of the area was trashed by, you know, the people running things, let's say, like, actually Monsanto. And a lot of the underground stuff was done here. So this is where the synchrotron is. And this is a huge, huge center where a lot of the psychiatrics, psychotropics were done. And uranium. So most of the stuff that went into the bombs and everything else is actually mined from up here. So I've been big in the sustainable communities trying to get people educated and even getting fluoride. This is one of the few places that still has fluoride, if you can imagine, in the water system here. So I think getting into things that we can do to just really start going to help people, how do you get alkalized? And the pH is directly related to your chakras. And that's the same thing even like colonics. It takes 3-4 colonics to clean a chakra. So you can imagine by the time I want to get to the seventh heaven or back to my brain or into divine thing and start seeing my, you know, gray hair reversing and get rid of the glasses and get rid of the aches and pains. But I mean, it's amazing the physical difference in just a few things can happen. And the pH is directly related. I think that's really important. We're getting people just on baking soda right now. And that's a huge thing just to get them alkalized. Most people's pH is very low. It's around 7. So I can measure the protons on people with my biofeedback machine, but more importantly is you can get litmus paper. And so the biggest thing that, you know, cancer cures is it's all acid based. So all we're doing is getting people, have you heard about the baking soda or the molasses cure? Have you heard about that?
I've been buying large amounts of baking soda because it's dead useful. My house has had some sort of odd smelly issues with drains and things, and so I'm needing to remove the smell, and bicarb does that for one mm-hmm. among many, many, many things. But yes, I saw that with Janet Swerdlow. She did a recipe of mm-hmm. of boiling the molasses and the baking soda, which basically the molasses attract. And then the sucker punch comes when the molasses attract the little bacterias going, ooh, food, food, food. And then wham, they get alkalized and burst into 1,000 pieces.
So, yeah, it's amazing. Like right now, the water is so important. Really to virtually heal any diseases, making sure that you're in an alkaline. It's like having a car. You know, most guys would never let their, you know, their cars go for 20, 30, 50 years without doing an oil change. Well, that's kind of like our water system. And so it's got to be alkaline and clean. And so that baking soda combined with either molasses or whatever, we don't boil water ever because it actually changes the structure. So boiling anything, even teas, denatures the water. So you can do it actually without doing that, boiling it, or just literally just bring it up to the point. It only takes not even a minute just to get it to congeal. But the other thing that could be used is borax. So a lot of people putting borax in there, you know, can be edible as well. It's actually a form of boron. So we put that in the bathtub as well. But the other thing too is the Himalayan salts. I'm very big on the salts right now. And because of what's happened in Fukushima is not having the animals, they're all contaminated. It's into the genes, the nanotechnology when it combines with the chemtrails. And then you start adding things if people are in cities with the chloride, and the fluoride is a huge, huge chemical reaction that we cannot release. And that's what the tumors are. People are starting to have like almost like plague of dealing with a lot of people with like skin conditions, aches and pains. And again, this is a natural thing. It's to put your system back into alignment. That's what a planetary alignment is. It means like get your system into cleaned out. So the Himalayan salt's actually probably one of the biggest things people could be doing too, is making sole. And that's taking Himalayan salt with a teaspoon of that with a cup of water and just using the brine called a sole. So you can look this up. We're making a 26% solution basically. And that's what we have to do, is have places that have access to, either if you don't spring water, but how to purify it. So that's a huge thing, is knowing that you can use MMS using hydrogen peroxide. And my big one is actually using lemon essential oils. So I was trained actually with, mentored with Gary Young. And, but there's a lot of good, you know, medical grade oils that can be taken for internal use. So we're doing a lot of essential oils where the raindrop is nice to do all the massage stuff, but is more importantly is to do it internally. And so we get empty clear caps. And so it's literally down the hatch. So we're using things like clove oil, which are the highest antioxidants in the world. And we have combinations that are designed actually for frequency to neutralize the chemtrails. So it doesn't matter if it's aluminum, beryllium, mercury, fillings, whatever it is. We actually do have a remedy for everything. So whether you do it on the biofeedback and isolate it, we can neutralize anything. And in fact, make it benevolent. How are we going to change this around? And so using things like that, this crystal amethyst bed is just to live for. It's amazing. And it's another form of a cleansing detox, natural ways to chelate. People can put the crystals, even like, you know, your amethyst and rose quartz, and stick it in the water too. But if anyone just takes even a couple little crystal rocks, just like Himalayan salt, put it in some water, you'll see it actually starting to off-gas. You'll actually see the trail smoking up because it wants to levitate up. Water's feminine. It wants to rise up. So when you learn about monatomics and using those special minerals or crystals for us, that's what we're doing. It's about levitation. And this is a time to be full of levitation, not grave and gravity.
That's so, right. The opposite of gravity is levity.
Let's have a little, you know, it's all about having fun here. We're going to be dancing, so we better be levitating.
Well, you know, sometimes it depends on the beat, but I don't feel my feet anymore. I'm just above the ground. And
Oh, yeah. We've been laughing, the whole technology, the whole earthing or grounding technology. It's like some of us are having so much fun, they keep having to put crystals into me just to ground me back here.
Well, I've got nice, various pieces of granite around here, here in the Highlands, and there's a little company next to where I live that makes granite worktops. So I've got these little squares, little strips and things of granite, just kind of as offcuts. So it's really nice to have them sitting around the house. It's a very, very cooling, earthing experience. And also, actually, I stick one of them on my stove. And that's where I can put my cup of tea. And it keeps my tea warm without sort of burning it. So it's like a buffer, a heat buffer.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing thing. Like, we're doing so many things out here. We got this really cool stuff. We call it hus-hus, or we say limlich in our area now, out in the Sinaiics. That's actually where we set up there. So if people want to look up the Sinaiics or Nelson, we don't use necessarily the term British Columbia, but everything runs by the law of the flag. So that's the nice thing now, knowing is that we actually have title to the crown there. And but in that Sinaiic nation, it's very cool. This hus-hus is called bear root or osha. And so you just need very little of some of these things. But that's why I actually like, we've got stills out there. So, you know, distilling the stuff like lavender or, you know, these type of things too, like you're talking with some of these different, you know, what people consider to be weeds are actually, that's what is alkalizing. Those are what's purging. And a lot of these things would be great as actually essential oils down the road. So, you know, when you guys come, make sure you bring some of these, like, so we can maybe grow them here too.
Yeah, well, ground elder was carried by the Romans, apparently, and it was designed to feed not only the soldiers, the centurions, and but also the horses. So it has to be abundant. It's a real, and it's a incredibly abundant, and you can cut the whole thing back down to the ground, and within 3 days you've got lovely new shoots coming up.
It's amazing. Lovely.
So we have another question again. Wolf Baby's asking you, does Karen have any good tips for re-energizing water?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. We've got to have the community discussion. I'm sure we'll be sharing lots of our recipes, so I'm really looking forward to speaking with her directly. Re-energizing water is actually a really good thing. Again, making sure spring is actually already energized. It's coming up through a vortex. If you pray over it is one. To do blessing, put your hands there, is using that is huge. It was interesting when they went to go do actually water that we blessed, they actually can't find a charge on it. So what we knew is we brought it back to actually balance. We brought it back to that co-creative thing and the tetrahedron structure that it should be, like Dr. Emoto's work, hidden messages in water. Again, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're aware of the Dr. Emoto's work. And it's interesting that he's called Emoto, you know, is that these are like little water-based emoticons, you know. Oh, hello. Yeah. The world's looking too holographic these days.
Yeah, I do a lot of things, let's say, with my water here. It's here, it's blessed. I've gone to the actual spring, so that's, to me, a start. Again, we do different things like essential oils. Adding any really good essential oil to it, like a drop of lemon, a drop of orange, a drop of peppermint. So one drop of peppermint is like you taking 26 cups of peppermint tea. That brings the energy and vitality right back just immediately. And if people are even in city water, so they can put a drop of lemon essential oil and it will neutralize things out like chlorine, things like that. Plus you won't have viruses, bacteria, you know, TB, that kind of type of thing. That to me is huge. You can use some people's power plates and, like, you know, sometimes ours sits on the seeds or the flowers of life. Emblems will do that as well. Some people will put hearts on. Everything that you have has intent to it. Again, I'm making sure that mine's alkaline because a lot of people, we're dealing with a lot of stress and negativity and positively charged chemicals in the environment. So doing anything we can to kind of boost the alkalinity on there. So, you know, I'm just putting a little bit of, you know, baking soda and stuff like that into mine. Like I said, putting crystals in. I mean, we've got, you know, a little bit of Himalayan salt can be put in. The other thing as well is putting in quartz crystals like amethyst. I mean, we've got beautiful things. You could put in Herkimer diamonds for that matter, celestial light or anything. And a lot of people put it out directly in the light. And that alone is huge, you know, for getting some energy that way as well. So there's a few different things. I've got water potentizers and stuff too, like through biofeedback. We can do it through our biofeedback. I can actually create, instead of homeopathics, but actually frequency imprint water myself. So I can make whether I want to do lotions or creams or salves or whatever, whether I do it directly to the individual. I can also put water on mine and do water potentization and do it that way. There's a lot of stuff too. A lot of people are into doing some of the machinery. I prefer not to if we can. I know a lot of people have been doing it that way, but I think there's the best water ever is to look for the springs. And it's all about living water. It's like the word, the vibration, the light, its frequency. The thing is that, you know, we want to make sure we're having some of the best water because what it does is it carries cellular memory. And most people don't realize it's like a computer chip. So if it's not from a spring, even if people are using machines and stuff, you can't erase the memory of the drug that's been through there or what people have been putting in or the chemtrails. It never erases the memory of it. There's like a residual trace to it on an energetic level. So I think that's one thing. A lot of people are going out in the different areas. And like I said, Daniel Vitalis and David Wolf himself have set up basically, it's called findaspring.com. And so mine is to do that. Like we go about no, roughly about 40 minutes away, and we get fresh spring water. So,
oh,
I
wow.
mean, it's good. And I think that's important right now, because as we're going through changes, when there's a time with a pole shift, it's time to do the Exodus or whatever we're going to do, now that we've got Meredith Quinn's, the great Musa or Moses' stuff here, what we're going to do is we're going to know when to go. Like, the animals know when to flee the area. You'll be in vibe or in touch. You'll be in sync with the harmonic, you know, whether we call it the earth, Gaia, you know, Shulman wave, whatever. It's, you'll be in frequency. You'll be in alignment to that, to be able to receive that calling. And I think that's an amazing thing. So, yeah, Lucas and I were just talking. I said, you know what? I think we should just fly over there. We apparently have a royal airplane or something and all this kind of fun stuff. I said, we'd love to go over there and just, like, meet with people and do a coronation. I said, how fun would that be to be, like, dancing on the, you know, Tara Mead, you know? Go pick up you guys and then get the planes and come back with you.
Well, I live near Findhorn. Actually, when you, it's
oh,
lovely,
yeah.
lovely to hear you talk about this, because I live on the hills, mm-hmm. the foothills of the Grampian Mountains that overlook Findhorn on the coast about... 5-7 miles away, I get water directly from a spring mm-hmm. that is at an incredible pressure. It's only a couple of hundred yards up the track, but there is, you know, it's just a pipe. There's no machinery in the way, and it gushes this fantastic, makes lovely tea. So when you come here, you can have a lovely cup of tea. There you go.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful plan. I think, like, that's the best plan ever.
And my little house is, I believe it's a little piece of heaven. I intend to stay here for at least 9 years. Mm-hmm. So if the pole shift happens in those 9 years, I've always had this feeling, actually, it's one of my weird beliefs that is, like, odd, and I don't care if it's true or not, it's just there. I've got no investment in it. But that Scotland will one day be a tropical country. And if there is a pole shift, and if it does happen that way, then you get logged off. There we go. So, that's what happens, yes. Let's try reconnecting. See how long that takes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that that's, you know, kind of what, you know, looking at what we've got available and to what we can actually come together and put in a thing here. And I'm like, my gosh, I think this is going to be having so much fun. We can have tea with T. Teffy on the actual Tara. And I'm going to probably start, like, inquiring. I know after, like, talking with Lucas, I'm starting to, like, get the accents. It must be coming to some ancestral thing right now.
Well, you know... It's, you know, we're all related, it seems, and,
absolutely.
You know, all the clans are beginning to recognize mm-hmm. themselves as clans rather than nations or families or, we're seeing who our people are, our tribes, the vibrations that we are, the soul vibrations that we are. Those are the new kind of clans, I think, rather than, restricted to blood. Because, you know, blood is the old way and spirit is the new way. So, that's what I'm feeling.
Seeing how we're all connecting right now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, in fact, Skype is part of the spirit way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just, the network is forming and, it's a peer-to-peer thing, even though Microsoft are trying to make it centralized. Good old Microsoft. Listen, we're nearly at the end of the program. Can you tell mm-hmm. people how they can... well, you're in a massive conference with some of my favorite people.
Favorite
people. Jay Widener, Jordan Maxwell, top cheeses, Grand
yeah.
fromages.
They are,
you know, top of the line people. It's a massive, massive thing. How can anybody take in all of those people all in one weekend? I have no idea. You just have to take loads of, what's the opposite of Prozac? I don't know. Whatever the opposite of Prozac is,
actually.
Tell us all about it.
What I'm going to do, you just brought up a little bit of like Jordan and all that. There is actually, we're coming up, it's called the alchemyevent.com actually. And that's where Jordan Maxwell and a lot of people like David Wilcock and myself will be speaking. And Santos, I mean, it's just amazing. Dr. Tony Minavio, oh, we're having so much incredible fun here. Stephen Kelly, so I'm actually going to be with Stephen Kelly speaking with him next week as well. But that would be something really fun. Like I said, Skype. Anyone wants to Skype me, let's have fun. Mine is actually called Karen Mack, so it's CallEdKarenMac is my Skype. And then, like I said, on Facebook, it's Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Ann is A-N-N, and then McDonald, M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-D. And so one's Karen Ann McDonald, and then the second account is Karen McDonald. So, I mean, this is what we do. It's about coming together and having fun and using our Skype and using this free energy, free information time. This is what we're supposed to be doing, having fun. So, yeah, I think that'll be great, like just to do this kind of stuff. And again, this is a time of bringing forth this information and the synchronicity and the astrotheology and coming together in spirit as spiritual brothers and sisters. And that's a whole whirling rainbow. I mean, once we get this, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And we're going to where we, you know, wish to be and where we desire to be. I'm so excited. I put things out on Facebook just to find out who is in the area, like when we come over. You know, so we'll have to bring some hus-hus and some of our local stuff too and our oils and do some gifting. And that's what we want to do is go back to it. It's called a gifting economy. It's kind of like community contribution, but that's actually what the law books are. And I really want to encourage people to look at this. It's called Meredith Quinn Tribal Laws. And you can see this on YouTube. It's the foundation of international law. That's what the basis to how our things are going to be coming back full circle. And he's on Vimeo, YouTube. Facebook has got one called the Universal Writings of Meredith Quinn as well. And to see how the actual law of the flag actually works and what we're going to be doing over here, and as well globally, it's going to be a whole you world order, like coming back into order, so you look after yourself now. But coming back into that, this is going to be an amazing time, is to look at, it's called Aboriginal Lands Canada, but it really explains about what the law of the flags are and how we govern our own ships, so to speak.
So, Karen, how is there a central point where people can go that is easy to name, so people can go, ah, right, that's the portal into all of this world? I know, I've asked for something that is really, yeah. Is there a website that you run? Is there something that you collate?
You can actually laugh. I thought it was the greatest one ever, but actually a friend of mine was with CSIS and they pulled my websites down. So we're going to actually have to create a new one. So anyone wants to volunteer for that, that's got to be developed. So at this point, actually Facebook is probably the best way. And as I said, even Patty Broussard's book, you know, what we're doing for where we're communication is through that methodology. And we'll look at setting something up, you know, very much in the near future. We've certainly got to do that and bring things together cohesively. I really wish we could offer something at this time. And if they Facebook actually Lucas, you can look at Luke Andrew. He's on my Facebook. And they can email him and they can get Meredith's PDFs, because there's also a PDF file with all the Bear Clan and all the original clan laws and how we put time back and synchronicity and
Karen,
how we
Karen, we're out of time. You'll be back. God bless
Absolutely.
You. Thanks for coming on. This has been Ever Beyond.
Beyond.